Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Morning to everyone out there. Dunkin', the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show. Grab a Dunkin'. It is 7:01. Hello to you. Good time to review your auto and home insurance with the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia. Our man, Tony Rasiopi, brought to you by Matthews International, MATW.com/careers. Tony joins right now to talk quarterbacks, talk Kenny Pickett, talk all of it with us. Hi, Tony. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. How we doing today?
Marvelous. Great. Wonderful here in Western PA. You tell me what has happened with Kenny Pickett over the past three games that may not have been there earlier in the season. It seems to be an uptick. He seems to be playing at his best right now, Tony.
Sure, I agree 100%. I think things are slowing down for him, number one. I think number two, more of a rapport with the receivers and the tight ends and the backs, the concepts he's being asked to play. And then, at the end of the day, they've his first four games are probably their toughest four opponents, right? So they were down in games. Run game really wasn't there. So, you're a rookie. You're down early. You got no run game to help you for the most part. So, these games, the last couple obviously have been even early on, and they've been able to run the football, which has helped them, I think you saw a bunch of things on Monday night, right? I think you saw, when it went 3-by-1, And it was like early in the game, remember, and they ran like a slant and a flat with the running back, and he threw it right to the back right away, right? And safety made a play for like a 1-yard loss. He didn't read it. Like, and everybody's like, the slant's wide open. And, in college, like that safety was at like 10, 11 yards pre-snap. So that's a pre-snap read, right? So I'm going to throw the ball to the back. Back could probably break a tackle and take off. Or, it's the NFL, right? So that safety drove up and made a play for -1. Flash forward, they ran that play again two more times, and he throws the slant for a first down and then a big play. That's one. Two, obviously, makes a great throw to George up the right sideline there on the back shoulder. And then if you watched the rest of the game, the Steelers tried to get that matchup from time to time, and Indy tried to disguise the safety, right? They kind of had the safety kind of down the box, and on the snap of the ball, he would fly over top of George and end up doubling. And you watch Kenny's eyes. Kenny would peek it to see if he could take a shot one-on-one, saw the safety get off the hash, and then he came back to his concept. Maybe week one or two of him playing, maybe he throws that ball to George, right? Maybe he tries to force the ball. Maybe he goes based on his pre-snap read of, okay, safety's down in the box, maybe tighter or over top of the slot receiver. And then the last one was that dig throw he made that Dan Orlovsky broke down the other day. Drop back in the pocket, play the shallow with his eyes, feel pressure, slide, keep his base, remain a passer, and then throw a freaking seed for a first down on the dagger dig, that 18-yard square in. So, I look at all three of those plays. I mean, I don't know if he made those plays kind of the first week, So that was the evolution, I think, of where he's going.
Yeah, Tony, Monday night you could kind of see Kenny grow within the game. As the game went on, he was doing things that, it looked like he felt comfortable with doing. And that was the first time we kind of saw that all season. And he did call that final play to score, that run play, to win the game. What did that say to you whenever you found out that Kenny did make that call to hand the ball off to go up in the game? And what does that say to you about his progression throughout the year?
Yeah, right. You know, we're talking about a kid that understands football. You know, like, you know, I will say this. He was well coached in high school by Don Klein, who's his high school coach. And, you know, when he got to Pittsburgh early in his career, you know, Sean Watson did a really good job in the run game of teaching him. Like, as a quarterback, you check run game based on two things, right? The front or based off safeties, right? Rotations and that eighth kind of defender getting down the box. You know, so understanding those things, I'm not surprised one bit by him doing that. So it's, you know, like through the draft process, like any time all the quarterbacks would go and meet, you know, with GMs and scouts and coaches and every one of those guys, all I got back was like, he is so far above and beyond anybody else we've talked to this year, you know, just from a football knowledge standpoint, be able to speak it. So I'm not surprised one bit by that.
Are you seeing growth? Because I think I've seen it, Tony, in his pocket presence. Like, I love the fact that he's still got the guts to stand in there and take a hit, for example, on the third and nine completion to Pickens that you talked about that Orlovsky broke down. But I'd also like him to take less of those hits. I've seen him feeling the rush, it looks to me at least, my amateur eye, a little bit better each and every week.
For sure. At the end of the day, like we talked about this earlier, you know, a couple shows ago, like there's no drill to simulate that, right? There's no, it just comes with playing and understanding and the feel of the game, the speed of the game. And it just, like your college clock is different than your NFL clock. It's just because the players are faster and they're better, you know? So it's just understanding, you know, I can slide, I keep my base, my eyes are downfield. And it also tells you, now, I was taught this a long time ago as a player, and I've seen it obviously as a coach. Like, if you want to look into the mind of a quarterback, you watch his feet, right? So, if you're confused back there and you're panicky on what's going on downfield, and you're really struggling seeing things, your feet are really frantic, you know. And I think he's starting to see things better, and I think he's starting to understand what Coach Canada and Coach Sullivan want from him on pass concepts, and I think he's standing there and understanding, okay, I'm going one, two, three, here's the covers, I'm seeing the covers, I'm seeing safeties, I'm seeing linebackers, so I can stand in there, you know? You know, a lot of times, you know, young guys, you know, they look at one on their progression, if that guy's covered, they're out. You know, they're not going to trust, or maybe they're not understanding who two and three is, number one, or number two, they were fooled, right? Okay, this play's meant for cover two. I'm supposed to look to the right. It's cover two pre-snap, and all of a sudden ends up being cover three, and my eyes are in the wrong spot. And because of that, I got fooled, and now I have to scramble. So it's just understanding and seeing things and understanding the concept and just the timing with the players.
Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. Now, I take in everything that you put on social media, on Instagram, on Twitter, whether it's Kenny, you got the kid going to Iowa, other NFL guys you work with. I'm an audience for it, Tony. I'm captivated by it. And it's always so precise.
Appreciate it.
All the time, man. And it's always so precise. You're working on footwork. You're looking off people. You're doing this and that. Do you ever just, if you have a receiver as good as George Pickens, do you ever sometimes throw that precision out the window and just say, hey, look, just between me and you, just get it freaking close. This kid is so good. Just get it in his area and he's going to catch it. Do you ever teach that?
Yeah, and it's, you know, I mean, that comes from time, right? That comes from, and I've said this before, like, I think it would be different if Kenny got drafted by the Steelers, right, and he showed up at minicamp and it was kind of like, okay, let's go 50-50 here, first rounder. No, here's the ball. Get in the huddle. You know, we'll split it. We'll get your reps. We'll get you comfortable with guys. And then slowly through training camp, here's the ball, kid. Like, he didn't have that experience. You know, he was third string all through the stuff early on in the offseason process, right? In the camp, he was third and maybe a little bit of two halfway through. Never really got with the ones for the most part. So that comes just with timing and trust. Like, when we make those throws to receiver, that's 100% trust that guy's going to make the play and just get a feel for, like, where do you want it, right? Like, as you see, like, if I'm high and behind with George Pickens, he's probably going to make the play. So it's understanding when to take those shots, you know, like, and like I said earlier, like, it's understanding when to do it and when not to force it. Like, there were probably four or five plays that stick out in my head that, like, he peaked him on the snap of the ball because, like I said, that safety was kind of over top of number two. If they were like 2x2 or if they were 3x1, kind of George by himself is the one, right? Like, I had a shot pre-snap, and all of a sudden he saw the safety drive and get over top. And I saw him a couple times. Like, you see George coming running back to the huddle, and Kenny's pointing, like, hey, safety's over top. I'm not just going to chuck it to you. You know, like, but if there's a matchup, you know, I'm going to take it. And then I think you see timing. I mean, you know, the throw he missed, that flag route, you know, he missed in the red zone where George was open and kind of off his fingertips. I mean, that's timing, right? And then in red zone, inside really the 25, but inside the 10, I got to be on time. Like, you're not waiting to see if he's open on those throws. You're waiting for him to stick his foot in the ground, and you're throwing the ball to a spot based on area, right? So the corner was up on that one, so he had grass in the back, you know, back pylon area. You're throwing it on time, and you're just trusting the fact that he's going to get there. So, like, my point is, like, we missed that, right? That's off his fingertips. You know, 2 weeks from now, I don't think he misses that.
Now, Tony, let's play a little game here. Let's play a little hindsight game. Let's go back to April. Kenny Pickett gets drafted. The Steelers look at him. Mike Tomlin looks at him and says, you know what, kid? You are the starter from day one. Tomorrow, you are the starter of the Pittsburgh Steelers during minicamp, during rookie minicamp, during OTAs, during training camp, and you're going to be the starter of the season, of the regular season, and we're going to stick with you through thick and thin. Where would Kenny Pickett be at right now if he was the starter from jump?
Well, I think, you know, I think he'd obviously be farther along, right? Just from a repetition standpoint with the concepts, right? Number two, timing with guys. And, you know, you're talking timing, you're talking, you know, in the middle of the field, you're talking red zone. All the places where things get faster and tighter, especially in the red zone. And then, you know, but I will say this, like, and I talked to him about this, you know, after, like, so he went to Pittsburgh, right? Rookie minicamp. OTAs, mini camp, and obviously came right back to me, and we were together for whatever he was home for, a month or 5 weeks. Like, his MO has always been, like, nothing's ever been given to that kid. You know, like, he wasn't, like, a high-recruited kid. He wasn't 6'4" as a sophomore in high school and could throw the ball 70 yards. Like, all that kid has done is kind of been like, you're not that good. And he's just outworked every part of his career. And, you know, I think – A, the way they handled it, he earned that spot, right, through time. And when I say earned, I mean he caught the respect of his locker room. And I think if he was given the ball earlier on, I don't know if those guys really come, okay, like, this kid just was kind of handed the ball. Like, what have you done, rookie? You know, I've been here 10 years. I've worked my butt off to get where I've gotten. Whereas, the way I think they handled it, and I'm good with the way they handled it. Like, I've told him this numerous times, like, all you're going to do is just win those guys over more and more because they're going to see the work you put in. And when you go in, you know, whether it was game four against the Jets, right, or whatever it was going to be, like, you're going to work and show those guys and earn the respect of your locker room, which is obviously huge at the quarterback position. Because you look in the NFL, not every quarterback has the respect of their locker room through the NFL. And I think, you know, he's going to make up that time. Like, you know, he's going to get out early before practice. He's going to have guys stay after and work on timing. And all that's going to do is just, again, make it a tighter, closer locker room with you know, genuine respect and love throughout it.
Tony Rasiopi. Tony, we thank you. As always, great stuff this week. We'll catch up with you again next week. Hopefully it's after another Steelers win. Thanks again, man.
100%, guys. I appreciate you having me as usual.
Absolutely. Text us anything you heard there, anything you like, anything you want to talk about. Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. And, hey, off the field with a dinky kick. Easy for me to say. Aditi Kinkavala. Off the field with Aditi Kinkavala. Every Tuesday from 6 to 7 at Minio's Pizza House, its newest location right there, Wildwood Road. Aditi, she talks to a different member of the Black and Gold, hear from players on what's happening on the field, learn more about who they are off the field. That's every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Check it out at Minio's. Jeff Hathorn joins in just a little bit. We hear from a different Jeff in our Breakfast Bites, and you'll find out who that Jeff is in just a minute.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's time for Breakfast Bites, a tasty soundbite to start your day with a Fan Morning Show.
Sure is. By the way, Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Peters Township, visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. We're going to talk to Jeff Hathorn, in just a couple minutes, but a different Jeff. Jeff Saturday talked just yesterday about what happened on Monday. Figure all that out. So Jeff Saturday talked about what happened at the end of that game Monday night. Keep the music playing there, pal. That's good. Works. And his timeout usage, good or bad move when he said this in retrospect?
I wish I had that third down back, in all honesty. Wish I'd have used a timeout. Just looking at it on film, looked at it last night again, looked at it this morning again. And from a time perspective, I felt good, but you could tell we were in disarray. I just didn't have a great feel. Ooh. Looking back, it's a learning experience. I didn't meet my expectations. Again, I hold the guys accountable. I'm accountable for that. Just wish I would have. That one's the one that's going to stick with me.
Oh, we were in disarray. Mm. Do you use those words if you ever want to be a coach moving forward?
You know what? I have a little bit more respect for him.
Yeah, yes. Tell me. Absolutely.
I mean, if you can admit your mistakes as a head coach, then, you know, we can hold you accountable. And you hold us accountable, as he just said. Players hold me accountable. I hold them accountable. So, you know, now, like, look, this is my first time at this. I'm admitting that, you know, I'm not perfect. I wasn't going to be perfect going into this deal. And things like this are going to happen. Now, I'm not going to let it happen again. If he lets it happen again, then that's an issue. But I have a lot more respect for Jeff Saturday for admitting a very, very vocal mistake.
Yeah, I give him credit for some credit for owning the mistake, but he's gonna have to get it together. Like, that's not what you want in your guys mismanaging the clock in that big a moment. Lots of coaches mismanage the clock. Mike Tomlin plenty of times has mismanaged the clock, but that's something that you got to get tightened up.
I just don't understand how somebody didn't, you know, call down to him and say timeout.
I don't understand how Matt Ryan just didn't step in and said, I'm 150 years old. I'm calling a timeout myself here.
Not one person on that sideline or on the field thought, maybe we just call T.O. here.
This is semantics, but I'm this guy. I like pay attention to particulars too much. I'm too particular. I would not have used the word disarray. I would have just said, I wish I would have done things differently. Because they'll use that clip against him all the time. They'll be like, this dude, he admitted they were in disarray.
Disarray is a big
ever
word.
Give him it is.
You know, like, it's like, there's a lot of stuff going on. It's like having like eight kids in your house running around and everything's messy. It's like, you don't have stuff together, brother.
Disarray is where we're going with this. Ooh. Disarray was maybe too much. It's entirely truthful what he said. But disarray to put on yourself, that's like when you admit, like, man, yeah, I'm just lazy.
Yep.
You know, I didn't do this. What have you been up to? Did you cheat on that test? Yeah, I'm a cheater, man.
Yep.
Like, he didn't even, well, I'm
just fell short. We just fell short of what we'd like to reach.
It's like going to somebody's house on Thanksgiving and they didn't clean up. It's like, yeah. I was in disarray all day. I had a lot of stuff going on. Sorry.
That word just hit me when I heard it. Disarray. Ooh. Ooh. And you put that on yourself. This is definitely heading for like a one and done situation for Saturday.
But he's been in both games he lost too, though.
I know.
You know, and against a really good football team in the Eagles. Like, he could have been on the other side of that. He won one game. I don't know.
I'm rooting for him to win.
Yeah.
Like, I want this guy to win because nobody told him he's not supposed to be here. You know, he's
right.
Just doing his thing. All right, Jeff Hathorn in just a couple minutes. We get into – we talk to him, and then big changes in the college football world. We talk about that before the hour is out. That's all straight ahead here. Fan Morning Show. Our man Jeff Hathorn, he joins right now. We love talking to him a couple times a week, and we do that right now. Hello, Jeff. Happy Thursday morning to you. How's everything?
Good. Good morning, guys.
Tell me this. So maybe you saw it on social media. Maybe you got the email. Who knows how it was delivered to you. But you got the Chris Letang news yesterday, and you've covered that team extensively for decades, and that's no exaggeration. As soon as you got that news, you thought what?
Well, you know, I was at the game Tuesday, and he was out sick, is what we were told. And there were a couple of us that swear that we saw him. And when we saw this news, we're like, how could that be? So there was a little bit of confusion because, you know, how could – you think stroke and you think the worst-case scenario. Obviously, you know, when you found out and then you found out quickly that he was in the room and that it looks like he's going to be okay, you're relieved. But, man, this guy's been through a lot. And, you know, he's in crazy great shape. And, you know, that's it's unfortunate. But hopefully, like they say, he's going to be back a lot sooner than he was last time and that they'll be able to, you know, figure this out. But, man, and another quick thing, and I know this is something that Chris wants out there. You know what? He felt weird. He didn't just try to fight through it. He contacted his doctor, and that was a huge reason as to why they were able to prevent maybe something more serious.
Jeff, this is obviously an unfortunate situation with Letang, and you know we obviously hope that he, you know, returns to full health. But the Penguins still have to play hockey. How do they make up for the lack of production that they're going to have while Letang is out?
Yeah, they don't. Obviously, they don't have another Chris Letang on the roster, and you know they've got to have other guys contribute. It's not going to be one person. You hear that a lot when there's injuries, and we've heard that a lot with the Penguins because they've had a lot of injuries or situations. So yeah, they're going to have other people step up. Petrie's got to play better. Patterson's got to, you know, keep elevating his game, and then somebody's going to get an opportunity. You know, whether at first it's Chad Ruweedle, whether it's, you know, Ty Smith gets that chance. Somebody's going to get that opportunity, and, you know, they need to take advantage of it. Hopefully, like we've seen from this team in the past, you know, they rally around this, play responsible hockey, and it turns out from an on-ice standpoint to be not as bad as it could be.
Yeah, it doesn't exactly help them fix the power play, though, Jeff, right? I mean...
No, but you know what? It's so bad right now. You know, maybe
can't get
a
worse.
Different person in there, maybe a different mentality of, hey, we just got to simplify this because we don't have Chris. Maybe that will help.
Moving it along to Steelers, we talked to Jeff Hathorn here. Let's say Jalen Warren is 100% or ready to go like he says he was yesterday at practice, and that trickles into the Atlanta game. Is he the undeniable number one guy on the depth chart? He leapfrogs Benny Snell. And let's say that Najee Harris can't go. How do the carries then get broken down?
Well, let's kind of go forward, at least for this week, with the thought process that Najee can't go. Jalen Warren's going to be the starting tailback. I think Benny Snell will get carries. I don't think they're going to have a 25-carry Jalen Warren game, especially coming off injury. But I do think Jalen will be the starter, and I think Benny will get some reps. And, you know, I think McFarland proved that he, you know, should at least get a couple of opportunities. I thought he was solid, and you know, and he's that guy they've been waiting for, that change of pace back, that you know, he could catch the ball out of the backfield, he can have small bursts, you know, to take a 2 or 3 yard gain into 10 real quick. So I do believe that Jalen, well, I know Jalen Warren would be the starting tailback, and obviously if Snell runs like he did last week, then that will allow him to get more carries within the game.
Jeff, every back on the roster outside of Najee, Jalen Warren, Anthony McFarland, and Benny Snell, they all average a higher percentage per rush than Najee Harris. Why do you think that is? Why is it that whenever those guys get in, they seem to be able to create more yardage than Najee this year?
Yeah, and I think obviously some of the lower rushing totals from Najee came earlier in the year, and I do think the injury played a factor in that. I do think he was still suffering from the foot and probably still is. I also believe in, you know, the play calling's made it a little better for him to just stop thinking at the line and just go and hit the holes. But listen, Jalen Warren is a guy who just pounds into the hole. You know, at most, it's Benny Snell is a one cut back. And, you know, the sample size for Anthony McFarland is pretty short. But I think that's the reason. I think both Snell and Warren are guys that hit holes hard. And I do think the offensive line has improved. And there are probably more holes. No, there are more holes there now than there were earlier in the year.
Jeff, Alex Highsmith, a premier pass rush bookend to T.J. Watt, or just a guy feasting off of having the reigning defensive player of the year on the other side?
Man, that's a tough decision for this team. Coming up is contract-wise, you know, how many big contracts can you have on that defensive side? I do think he's an emerging pass rusher. You know, obviously he's not T.J. Watt. You know, it's going to depend on how much he wants. I love his work ethic. The guys really appreciate how much he dives into learning and asking questions. He's a sponge with them. He's come from this third-round pick from Charlotte to become a, you know, legit, solid NFL pass rusher. Obviously, he's helped by TJ, but I think he's got some talent there, and it's going to be a tricky decision.
Well, let me ask you.
Some of their needs. Oh,
I'm sorry. Let me jump in here then, and let's get to that decision. You don't have for a while to pay the quarterback, the tight end, the running back, nobody on the offensive line, and what will be your number one receiver. You don't have to pay those guys for at least a couple years. Does that make it easier to pay Highsmith if you want to now?
I think it does, unless they decide, you know, depending on how their draft goes and where they go, you know, do they want to make immediate upgrades in free agency on the offensive side of the ball? And that will impact, you know, what they decide to do. And then, you know, the other question is, how much do they improve themselves defensively in the draft? You know, they have so many picks and they have a lot of needs. I mean, is Highsmith a priority over, if they don't draft a middle linebacker or a free agent corner? It's part of the intrigue of a salary cap world is trying to figure out how to divide that pie.
Jeff, do you sense any turmoil between Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, and Kenny Pickett at all? Like, I mean, obviously, Deontay Johnson, you know, he says he's open. There's analytics out there that say he's open, but he's not getting the ball. No touchdowns on the year. Do you sense any turmoil thus far just based off of how his season has went?
No, not at all. In fact, Pickens and Deontay are, you know, before practice, they're always playing catch. They're, you know, they're laughing. They're in good moods. There's no friction between those guys. There's no issue with Kenny. And Deontay's not a guy that walks into the locker room, at least at the times when we're allowed in there, that is ever a problem or anyone or is ever moping or he doesn't talk to guys. That's not the case at all. He's a very good teammate, and guys respect how hard he works. And, you know, I think maybe from what Deontay was saying yesterday about, hey, I'm having a good year, maybe that's just recognition to him. You know, that's a way to tell himself, like, hey, you know, just keep plugging along. The catches are going to come. But I don't see him as any issue in that room.
Real quick, before we let you run, Jeff, you've been with the team for several games so far. Is what we're seeing from Pitt basketball legit? Are they turning things around?
Man, if they can shoot 64% from three again, they're going to win a lot of games. That was an amazing performance against Northwestern that almost everybody missed because of the Steeler game. They have better talent this year. Are they going to have their ups and downs? Sure. But the talent level has improved. They have some older guys that can score in Power 5 basketball. So, yeah, I think they're improved. How much will depend on their point guard play and how some of these younger post players develop.
Jeff Hathorn. Jeff, we thank you so very much. We will chat again.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely, positively. Coming up next, big change in the college football landscape. We discuss that. top of the hour, is maybe someone on our staff even, maybe someone who was on our show, are they doing Kenny Pickett no favors by the things that they're saying? Let's dive a little bit deeper into that. And Nick Costas has moved up today. He is at 8:30.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Eat. Programming notes, Nick Costas, he will join, not in his requisite spot, I don't want to say requisite spot, but normal spot, I should say, at 9 o'clock. He will join at 8:30 today, so we'll talk to Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, host of You Better You Bet, Nick Costas. That's at 8:30 today, not at 9 o'clock. We get into what college football is doing in just one moment here after a brief note from our friends at FanDuel.
Yeah, it's another Thursday Night Football Fan Morning Show odds boost for you from FanDuel. You know you get free bets back with every same game parlay if it doesn't hit on a Thursday night from our friends at FanDuel, official partner of 93.7 The Fan. Here's what I put together for you. You can tail this or go find your own parlay inside the FanDuel app. How about New England plus the 3.5, because Buffalo's only covered once in their last five. This could be a field goal game. How about Josh Allen, under 268.5 passing yards? He's only gone over that number once in the Bills' last five games. Tag on a Ramondre Stevenson anytime touchdown and get that thing at plus 535, over 5-1 money for you on tonight's Thursday Night Football game. Again, free bets back if your same game parlay doesn't hit. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLE.
All right, here we go. Early college football expansion is going to happen. Go to 12 teams, going to move it out to 12 teams in 2024 and in 2025. I'd like to see it full on at 16 teams right now. There are people that say it could be a watered down product. The regular season means less the more teams you put in the playoffs. But I'll say this, you take the NFL model, for example. Like, the playoffs are I think the NFL playoffs are just so incredibly exciting. It's do or die. Winning you advance, losing you're out. I mean, every single down means something. You're trying to tell me that the more you give of us on a college level of that, and I'm not understanding why there wouldn't be any more expansion. The more of that you give to us, the taking something away from the regular season would diminish the product. I think people would fight more or just as much to get into that, and the regular season would mean just as much.
It would mean just as much, and it also means more money for the bowl committees, because the bowl committees wouldn't go away, at least in my mind. They wouldn't go away. You could still have your bowls within the playoffs, and that means more viewership, more eyes towards the Cheez-Its Bowl. Like, if Pitt's not playing in the Cheez-Its Bowl, am I going to watch it? Yeah, football's on. I may watch it, but I may not. But if there's a playoff team that has something to move forward with, I'm definitely going to watch that bowl within the playoffs. So I feel like that the more teams, the better, because there's more money to be made. Why wouldn't you want that? That's obviously what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how 12 goes for the first contract, the first 4 or 5 years of this thing, because I think they are worried about getting watered down in those prelim games, where 5 plays 12. 5 could be a very – 5 this year could be Ohio State, right? And 12 could be Tulane. That might not be a great football game.
But it
now,
might be,
it
too,
does,
though.
It does increase – right. It does increase the chance for what we love March Madness for, right? Which is chaos and Cinderella's. So I think, yeah, as they find more and more money in this thing, and there's always going to be more money, maybe there's another expansion on the horizon. I'll take it at 12 for now, because I think it does – 12 is such a better number than just 4 most years, because there's always going to be an argument about 4 or 5. I think the argument becomes less so once you get to like 11, 12, 13, 14, right?
5-12 right now would be Utah and Ohio State, right?
That's not bad.
No, Utah they lost to UCLA by just 10 points. They beat USC this year. They lost by 3 points to Florida on a nail biter to begin the season. I can't understand why. Like, for me, the 1AA model has worked forever. Yes. You started last weekend, this weekend that just passed, Thanksgiving weekend. It's 16 teams. It's been in forever. The one thing that would go away that people don't want to go away are conference championship games because they make so much money for those conferences. I can understand that from that standpoint, but it's just no one wants to do for the greater good of the national championship. They want to do for their conference and then still have a chance to play in that big bracket. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Big Ten wants to do that. Anybody that has ACC wants to do it. The SEC sure as heck wants to do it. Anybody that has a conference championship game doesn't want to lose that 1 week.
Why couldn't you have that still, though?
You can't play a 16-team bracket and still have the conference championship game. And like, I mean, you want to play football until March?
Mid-January?
I don't think teams are going to want to play a conference championship game and then play another bracket.
But
you'd
theoretically have the same number of weeks, would you not? You'd just be removing byes. So you'd have the same number of weeks on the schedule.
I just don't think the teams want the duality of a double bracket like that.
Like tough back-to-backs.
Correct. Because if they play through a bracket, then you follow what
I'm saying? Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I think the more interesting part of the 12-team construction, to be quite honest, is that you're going to get – if you're in a better spot financially, in my opinion, to be the 5 seed, because not only do you get 12, which, again, there's different projections. I'm seeing 5-12 as Ohio State Tulane. But regardless, if you're the 5, if you're the 6, 7, 8, you get a home campus game, right? And – if you're 1, 2, 3, 4, you don't get a home campus game. You skip straight ahead to a bowl game. You get a bye, yeah, but you don't get the impact of having another game on campus in your town, which is huge for some of these towns. That'll be more interesting to me. Do they alter that once they push past the first year or two of the playoff?
I don't understand why teams just don't want to win and beat everybody and go out there and, you know, that's the remedy to all of this. For all the semantics, like for all the secondary questions, the first question or the first answer for all this is just prove that you're the better team and beat them.
Yeah, that too. You know, like why do you not want to prove, like you just said, I'm not going to just reiterate what you just said. Why do you not want to prove that you're the best and you have the best chance of getting to the national championship? Another angle.
Like if you're Georgia, Michigan, or TCU, right, don't you just want to play them and beat them?
Right. Yeah. I'm definitely with you there. Another angle too is even look at Joey Porter Jr. Like you're going to tell me that there's guys that are going to stay out of a bowl game if there are teams in the playoff?
Oh, yeah. If it's a 12-team playoff this year, play. Penn State's playing Clemson in a playoff game instead of maybe Clemson in the Orange Bowl.
Right.
Or, yeah,
or
absolutely.
Like Tennessee's quarterback. Well, I mean, that's a bad example. But, yeah, Penn State. I mean, they're what? They're 10-2.
Right.
So they'll play in a bowl game or they be in a real bracket, legitimate bracket.
And every player's going to play. There's not one guy that has NFL possibilities, even if you have a first-round grade, that you're going to leave and not play in the playoff game.
Yeah.
So you're getting the best players at these bowls that will make the money. I would just go for it. Why not just go for more teams?
I don't know what 12 is going to do.
Right.
I mean, 12 is going. It's definitely going to help. It's better than 4. But I don't know how much. Why not? I don't know what 12 does that 16 doesn't, or why you can't get to 16 if you're 12.
I totally agree.
I think 12, in
the mind of the people who have put this together, 12 widens it enough that there's really no more arguments anymore about whether you belong in it or not. If you're ranked 13th, do you really deserve a shot at the national title? And it expands it far enough but doesn't open it all the way up to 14, 15, 16, which is starting to include your 3-loss teams in some cases and teams that were never really even in contention for their conference title.
Well, I mean, there's some teams out there that play really good teams that have 3 losses
right,
that could have the
sure
opportunity to
like
make
ranked
it.
12th right but, now is Utah. Is Oregon better than Utah? Is Oregon State better than Utah? LSU has 3 losses. Are they really better than Oregon? And I'm talking about the 16 teams, mm-hmm, up until 16. Is Kansas State better than Clemson, who's a 2-loss team? I think Kansas State would give Clemson
I would like to see it.
Absolutely.
I would like to see it if we don't know.
But in the current structure, Kansas State would be excluded.
No, they'd be 10th right now.
Depends on how they're going to go and get these 16 teams, too. Are you still going to use the current college football playoff rankings?
You're going to take the top 6 conference champs,
right,
then top 6 at large. So Kansas State would be in as the 10th seed.
With the way conferences are now, teams are going to jump conferences, and they're not always going to be guaranteed to be in the same you see what I mean? The conference flux that's happening right now. You're taking this year right now. What do you do with Cincinnati? Like, Cincinnati's now moving conferences.
Right, and if they win their conference and they're one of the top 6 ranked conference champs, they're in.
again, what does 16 do that 12 doesn't?
Or
what
does, see, that's where I'm at. I don't
see. I get what you're saying. I'm all for more playoff games. But that I think, again, once you open it up past 12, you're really getting to teams that I don't think have an argument to be in the national championship conversation.
Who in the rankings you're looking at, who is ranked 13 through 16?
Let me pull up the rankings.
No, just forget. That's okay. I don't understand what the 14th team and the 11th team, the disparity that's there. I know you have to cut it off somewhere, but like, yeah. I'm looking at the AP rankings, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in the AP rankings, Utah is 12. They'd be the last team in. If you went by AP, and they're not going by AP, but I'm just saying, if you went by AP, Utah is 12. I don't see a lot of difference between Utah and the 15th ranked team in Oregon.
And my point is, there may not be that much disparity between 11, 12, 13, 14, whatever it is, but I don't know how many of those teams deserve a shot at the national championship. You know, I'd love to see Kansas State play Clemson.
If that's your argument, there's a big disparity between the top four and then number seven. Why expand it at all?
There's a disparity, I would say, between the top three and then maybe even the top five.
Or
and
even
there's
11
different
and
break
15.
Points.
Just like what you're just saying, like there's not much disparity between 11 and 15. You don't know who deserves to get in, so why not get to 16? Because there is such a gap. You don't know who is worthy enough to get in. Why not get to 16 to see who is the best?
Again, if we're going to use the AP rankings as an example, because that's what the baseline we're working off of, Colin, I don't see UCLA, who would be 17th then, having an argument with Oregon State as, well, no, we'd be better equipped to win a national title than you.
Right, they're out. I'm not saying they should be in. I'm saying it should cut off at 16.
Okay.
My point is Oregon State is 16th.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a big difference between Oregon State and Utah. That's number 12 and number 16. Right. One would be out, one would be in. And if there's going to be a cutoff somewhere.
Yes.
I don't want 25 teams in. I want 16. And if you're going to get to 12, you should get to 16. To me, it makes two even brackets. It's four quadrants. It's simple. 4, 4, 4, and 4. It makes a very dynamic and even tournament. You rarely see a 12-team tournament in anything in life. Anything. And I don't think the difference between the teams 12 and 13 are all that much.
That's fair. I mean, the NFL playoffs were a 12-team tournament for about 30 years, but you're right. It's a rarity, not a
But
not
there's
a
also only – there's not 9 million NFL teams, Chris. There's a lot more college football teams than there are NFL teams.
Okay.
412-928-9370 is that number. Something said on our show yesterday, did it do somebody a disservice? We get into that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.